some things about that. And now this morning, we're coming to Genesis 29, and we're going to talk about this, overcoming insecurity. Now, this is not a self-help lesson. We're not of that mindset. But there are things that we deal with in our life that there are biblical solutions, biblical help, biblical answers to. The Lord just didn't just leave us out, hang us out to dry, as it were. So we're going to Genesis 29 in our Bibles, and we're going to start in verse 15. Look at a story, maybe not as familiar as some of the things we look at, but I think it has some help for us. So we're in Genesis 29. Trust you got a worksheet. Trust you found your place in the Bible. We're going to start in verse 15. I'm going to read down to verse 30. Follow along. I shall read out loud. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave it unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also into Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So could you imagine with me, think about this, think of it from Leah's perspective. Could you imagine how Leah felt on the day after her wedding? You just had a wedding. And really, the first thing that's out of your husband's mouth is, oh, I thought you were your sister. I'm sure that she had some insecurity creeping in because of that. Now, we know that there was insecurity because look with me. Now, we just read to verse 30. Go down to verse 32. And notice what it says here. I will pass through all thy flock today. Sorry, that's chapter 29. Let's go to chapter 30. Let's go to chapter 29. Look at verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. First she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my, what's the next word? Affliction. And what she's talking about? She's talking about this situation with her husband. You know, I'm the wife, and next thing you know, there he is with my sister, and there's this issue going on. Now therefore my husband will love me. So obviously she didn't feel loved. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, behold, the Lord hath heard that I was hated. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So there had to be some insecurity because she's keep thinking, if I do this. And so there's some issues here in this relationship. Now, these feelings that we deal with in our humanity, last week we talked about bitterness, today we're talking about insecurity. These feelings we're dealing with are normal and natural. I'm not saying they're right, but they're normal and natural. We're human beings, we are emotional, we're not Vulcans, we're not Spock, we can't just say, I'm never influenced by my emotions. We all are influenced. Whether we show it or not is a different story. How much we show it may be different, but we're all impacted by emotions because that's how God created us as emotional people. I'm not saying God made us to be overly emotional or controlled by our emotions, but he did create us with emotions. And so bitterness, insecurity, these things we're talking about throughout this series here are normal because we're human. They're natural because we go through life, we deal with events, and we're impacted by them. Now, watch this statement. It isn't having the feeling that's the problem. Rather, it's how we deal with it. And if we don't deal with it biblically, that is where the problem comes in. It's not, okay, being bitter is not right. But the truth is, you live in this world, you're a sinner living among sinners in a world full of sin. Bitterness is going to impact you. How you deal with it, what's important. You cannot live your life and say, I will never be bitter, I will never be insecure, because the reality is things are going to happen. You're going to have to deal with things like this. So how do we deal with it in a biblical way, in a way that honors Christ, in a way that pleases Him, in a way that is beneficial to our own life? So when these feelings occur, we need to have, now watch this statement, we need to have a planned biblical response. Okay, this happened. Okay, I remember some things from Scripture. This is how I'm going to respond to it now. So based on Leah, we're going to examine some possible causes of insecurity based on this text. Also, we're going to look at some responses, natural responses, but then really we're going to zero in on what is the proper biblical response when situations happen that create insecurity in our life. So let's go back to our text. Let me start giving you some things to write down. Let's go back with me to verse 15 and look with me at verse 17. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now the reality is this. When verse 17 occurs, Leah and Rachel knows it. Leah knows that she's tender-eyed. Rachel knows that she's the well-favored one. It's just, you live in the world, I mean, you see how people talk, you see how they respond, you see how, you know, you can just see it. So you know, as a person, what's happening. So let me give you number one. Number one is this, comparing or being compared to other people can cause insecurity. It's just normal and natural. When we compare ourselves to others, so if I look at others and I start comparing myself to them, or if others are comparing me to someone else. So when we compare ourselves to others or are being compared to others, now we tend to end up one of two ways, proud or discouraged, and both are wrong. Proud is that pretty soon now we think we're better because people like us more, or we start working to try to keep that. You know, we want to stay better in a proud way, which can create problems, or become discouraged and we just want to, you know, become insecure. It begins now impacting us. Both outcomes are bad, and both produce insecurity. If you're the Rachel one, then you're insecure because if it's all about your looks, then you're always trying to keep your looks up. And if you're Leah, the one who everyone's comparing to Rachel, then you feel bad and then you become insecure that way. One of the things we do that gets us in trouble is we compare ourselves to Hollywood. You cannot match Hollywood. Now watch what I'm about to say. Hollywood can't match Hollywood. Now, what's amazing is, and I saw this, I'll repeat an old illustration, but I saw it again just recently. So they go in for a photo shoot. We'll just use it for a lady. So she goes in for a photo shoot, and they spend hours preparing her hair and her makeup. Point the wrong thing. They fix her hair, they fix her makeup, they get the exact right clothes, tell her exactly how to pose, they put the exact right lighting on her. They spend hours in preparation. And then they take this photo shoot of her. Now watch, but that's not good enough. They spent hours trying to make her look the best she can. They picked the best one, made her look the best she can, spent all the time to get the best picture, and then they insert that picture into a computer and start photoshooting it. And they photoshopping it. And then they start changing it. They take out this, they add this, they shape this. I told you the story before about how they went through this. There was actually a video made. It was like time elapsed. All the time spent into the photo shoot, and then they went into the computer, and then they began changing it, and then they showed the outcome, which was not really what she totally looked like. There was changes. And then recently I saw again, they showed a picture of a person who was being photographed and had everything perfect, and then they showed the cover that she was on and how that even she didn't look like the cover didn't even look like her. Now, if the Hollywood can't match Hollywood, why would we compare ourselves to them? You're never going to look exactly like them. You're never going to sound exactly like them. If we spent all of our lives on TV, on the internet, comparing ourselves to those things, that is always going to produce a certain insecurity in us, because really, even what they're doing is fake. Now, when it comes to looking at other people, and I'm thinking about this from our Christian life, when it comes to comparing ourselves to other people, there is in a small way, or a very confined way, there is a positive way in this. If I'm looking at a believer who's further down the road in their Christian life than me, then I can maybe get some ideas. Maybe I can learn some things from them. I see maybe this is how they're doing some things, and maybe I can learn from their life. When a person is a road sign pointing to Jesus, that's a positive. As long as you understand the goal is Jesus, not them. Okay, so I look at Kelly Choma, and I learn some things about the Christian life. I say, boy, you know, I could do that, or I could improve here. Boy, that's a good idea. But I'm not trying to be like Kelly Choma. I'd have to change barbers. I'm not trying to be like Kelly Choma. We're going to miss you, man. So I'm not trying to be like Kelly Choma. I'm trying to be like Jesus. So I have to make sure the goal is right. So as long as I'm trying to be like Jesus, I can learn from others, but I'm not trying to be like them. And because I'm not trying to be like them, therefore I'm not insecure in not being like them, because I'm really trying to be like Jesus. Let me give you one more caveat about this. When it comes to this comparison, probably that even more than comparing yourself to others, now watch, we have to especially be careful about comparing children to other children. We are at least adults. We should have some emotional maturity about ourselves. Kids are not that way. And they can be easily hurt emotionally if you go up to Billy Bob and say, Billy Bob, how come you're not like Johnny over here? You know, Johnny's the perfect kid. Johnny never does that, and Johnny always does this. You know, that's not helping Billy Bob. Especially if they're brothers, that really doesn't help. That's just creating some problems there. Okay, don't compare kids among kids. Just say, Billy Bob, here's some things you can help. There are some things you can work on. Here's some positive things. Don't compare them, because that produces an insecurity. So this comparison produces insecurity in believers, in all people, but even in believers. Number two, now we'll get to some help in a moment. I'm just trying to lay out some groundwork as far as what's causing insecurity. So this wrong comparison creates insecurity. Number two, go with me again to chapter 29, look with me at verse 25. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Here's big number two. Being rejected by those you love or seek to please can cause insecurity. Now, we don't know how much of Jacob's conversation with Laban that Leah knew of. But I tell you this, if you're Leah and you got married, and 1 week later your husband's marrying your sister, you know something's up, don't you? You don't have to hear the conversation. You know there's a problem here. There's got to be a definite insecurity in Leah seeing what's happening. Now, there is no pain in the human aspect. There's no pain, emotional pain, quite like the pain of rejection, because it's very personal. You're being rejected. There's something wrong with you. And it's a very hurtful, it's almost like a toothache, physically speaking. Now that, to me, there's no pain like a toothache. It's like straight to your head. It's like, oh man, that thing hurts. And that's the same thing with rejection. It's immediately to the heart. Immediately there's a pain. Now, think about this. This is, I'm going to give you a statement. I'm not trying to be trite or cliche, but there's truth to this statement. Maybe the only comfort in this idea of rejection, maybe the only comfort that can be given is to know, that Jesus experienced it and knows how you feel. So let me ask you a question. Was Jesus rejected? Of course he was. But that wasn't his only rejection. There's more than the crucifixion. So hold your place in Genesis. Let's go back to John. So we'll start with the crucifixion, because that's the obvious, and then we'll look at some other, couple other places. John chapter 19. So we're talking about insecurity. When there's all of this comparing goes on that can create insecurity. When we've been rejected by someone we love or someone we're seeking to please, that creates an insecurity in us. John chapter 19, look with me at verse 15. But they cried out, away with him being Jesus, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Let me tell you, they regretted those words, because Caesar came back and burnt down the whole city. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. There's rejection by the leadership, but that's not the only rejection. Go back, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look with me at verse 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. That's, again, a form of rejection. So here's Jesus even having those who are following him just start walking away because he's not dancing to their tune. Matthew 26. Let's show you one more place. Matthew 26. And look with me at verse 47. So he's rejected by leaders. He's rejected by many of his disciples. And now we get to verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forth he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Could you imagine how Jesus felt? Someone coming up, putting an arm around you. Hey, brother, love you. Yeah, he's him. Kill him. I mean, just this utter betrayal. And Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Betrayed by one of the 12, one of his close associates. So Jesus understood and understands this rejection and what it causes. Now we'll get a little more into that in a moment. So the cause of insecurity. Well, Leah and Rachel was compared, creates insecurity with Leah. She's being rejected by her husband, someone that she's married to, someone obviously I would think loves. She loves him. Being rejected, again, source of insecurity. Let me show you another thought here. Go back with me to Genesis 29. And look with me at verse 32. Now notice what happens because of this insecurity. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now, in Bible times, their names meant something. Like, you know, like Billy Bob means Billy Bob. That's all Billy Bob means. But for Reuben, Reuben meant something. So you named him with the idea that there was a meaning to that name. And the name Reuben means, see, I have a son. So that's what she's saying. Look, I got a son. Now, why is that important? Because in those days, in the culture of that time, the greatest accomplishment that a mother, a wife could do is to bear a son. That was like the greatest thing. And what she is saying, basically, Jacob, look, I got a son. Look, I produced an heir for you. Look what I did. And so this is the accomplishment that she's pointing to. So why do I say that? Number three is this. Actually, I gave you the verses. But number three, insecurity can cause us to try to find our security in our efforts. Now we're kind of getting down to the meat of it. So insecurity comes. Comparing ourselves or being compared creates insecurity. Being rejected creates insecurity. But when we now that we're insecure, what we start doing is we try to compensate for the insecurity by trying to overachieve, by putting a lot of effort in. We're trying to earn now. We don't want to be rejected, so we're trying to earn their favor. We're trying to find security in what we're doing. So our efforts, our actions now are designed to bring about that security that we're lacking. Now, what happens is this. Well, let's go back to chapter 30. We're in chapter 29. Look at chapter 30. Look at verse 9. We had read earlier all the way down to verse 35. She bore four sons. And every time she's like, look, I got a son. 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 Jacob still seems to be really overly infatuated with Rachel. And Leah keeps trying to earn his favor. Keeps trying to, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. She leaves off bearing. Now look what happens in verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Now he's going to have more sons. She keeps trying to earn this favor of Jacob. And each time it's almost like, this will do it. Now watch, but it's still never enough. If you spend your life insecure and all you're going to try to do is overachieve so that you find that security in your actions, in your efforts, and what you're trying to do, not only are you going to continue to be insecure, but you're going to end up being bitter because it's never going to work that way. We cannot find our security simply in the things that we're doing trying to make people happy. That's not the place to find your security. Although it is commendable to work hard and seek to achieve goals, that's a commendable thing to do. It is dangerous when we try to use our efforts to overcome our insecurity. It becomes a dangerous type of behavior. Now, why is that? Because if I'm doing all these efforts, okay, so comparison happened, rejection happened, I'm insecure, now I'm going to do these things to get to hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, like me, like me, like me, look what I'm, look, I'm better than them, I'm good as them, don't reject me. That insecurity causes, because I'm trying to earn their favor, that forces me to compare myself to them, which creates insecurity. And it's a vicious cycle. You're never going to find what you're looking for if the way you're trying to find it is in the flesh, in just accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with trying to seek to be the best you can be and to achieve what you can achieve, to use your life the best for the Lord. Nothing's wrong with that unless you're using it for carnal reasons, simply trying to find your own security in your accomplishments. So what happens is this, it can cause us to continue to compare ourselves with others, and thus we become more insecure. It's that vicious cycle that happens. Let me show you one more from Genesis 30, and then we'll look at a little more solution-oriented. So go back with me to chapter 30, and we're going to pick it up now in verse 1. And I'm going to read through these verses, and I want you to think about the dynamic of this family. This is truly a dysfunctional family is happening here. Look at verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel, now watch this, envied her sister. Isn't that kind of odd? What was Leah doing? Envying Rachel. What's Rachel doing? Envying Leah. That is not a good situation to be in. And said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Man, Jacob's getting from both sides now. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, wife. And Jacob went to her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpah and gave her Jacob to wife. And Jacob's like, I cannot win in this situation. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went into the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said to her, "It is a small matter thou hast taken my husband. And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." This just doesn't sound like a good functional family, does it? And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued me with a great dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterward she bare a daughter, and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said in the layman, "Send me away." They're staying. I'm leaving. That's almost what but no, he's taking them with him. "Send me away that I may go into my own place, into my country." It's got to be better than here. This place is crazy. So you have all of this going on, all of this situation. So now you have not only the insecurity, but number four is this. Insecurity can cause contentions and jealousies in our relationships. All of this issue in this family because of the insecurity of Leah towards Rachel, and now Rachel is insecure towards Leah, and this back and forth is creating all of this turmoil in this family. When we don't deal properly with our insecurities, they can become the source of much difficulty in our relationships. Unnecessary divisions result from these insecurities and thus produce even more insecurities. Again, I'm not Dr. Phil. I'm not just trying to give you some psychological help. I'm just laying out the foundation before I give you the three main points about what some things we can do. So this is our human nature. You say, "Well, we shouldn't be that way." You're right, we shouldn't, but we are. That's the reality. We live this way. If we're compared to someone, we feel insecure. If we're rejected by someone, we feel insecure. Then we try to overachieve, which creates more insecurity. And now there's issues inside of our relationships because of it. So where can we go to Scripture to find some help with this? Well, go with me to Psalms. So I'm going to give you three thoughts now. So we laid the foundation from this text about insecurity and what it looks like, and maybe some sources and how you can see it in a family dynamic. Now go with me to Psalms 139. Look with me in verse 14. Notice these verses. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." I'm at the mother's womb. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." So here's the first thing, which is big number five. We have to find security in knowing that our lives has purpose. You are a unique creation. I apologize. On Wednesday nights, I don't put my verses in. On Sunday school, I do, and sometimes my mind is still in the Wednesday night thinking. So I actually have these verses for you. You are a unique creation of God, for which he has a purpose and plan. Now, why do I say that? There are no mistakes. There are no uh-ohs. There's no oops with God. There's purpose and plan. Now, let me go on a little side road here. This is one of the reasons I'm absolutely opposed to abortion. Absolutely opposed. People say, "Well, what in the case of..." Okay, let me just... I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be crude, but I do want to be plain, but in a way that's appropriate. If a woman becomes pregnant against her will, it's not the baby's fault. That's what it boils down to. Two wrongs do not make a right. You say, well, you know, why should she be forced to? Okay, but why should you kill the baby? You say, well, she wouldn't be able to raise it. I guarantee you, there are a whole bunch of loving families out there who would love to have that child. Okay. Every life that's formed in the womb has a purpose and a plan to it. There are no mistakes with the Lord. You are a creation of God that has a purpose and a plan. No matter what anyone says to you. You know, the sad thing is we talk about comparing kids to kids. That's bad. But what's even worse is when a parent says to a child, well, you were just a mistake. No, that child wasn't a mistake. Well, I don't even know why I had you. How hurtful can you be to a child to say something like that? Every life is a life on purpose. And if you're living, and you are, because I'm looking at you, you're alive, and you have a purpose and a plan to your life. You may not line up with everyone else as far as you may not, in some areas, come short. You may not be considered the greatest in some area. But God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. That's where we find our security. Our security is not me compared to them. My security is me knowing that I was created by God and He has a purpose and a plan for my life. That's my security. If you're alive, your life has purpose, regardless of what anyone else says to you or about you. Do not let man determine or define your purpose. Seek God. Find your purpose in Him. So we find our security in knowing that our life has a purpose. I was born. My mother had me. I was formed in my mother's womb. God had a purpose and a plan before. My birthday is October 2nd. Please mark that down. It's coming up. So on October 2nd, when I was born, that's not when God said, let me think about this kid. I got to come up. No. As soon as I was formed in my mother's womb, God had a purpose and a plan for me. He knew me. He knew everything about me, everything that would ever happen in my life. He has a purpose and a plan. That's my security. My security isn't that I can out-preach so-and-so. My security isn't that I'm stronger than so-and-so. My security is God has a purpose and a plan in my life. That's security. That's number one. Now, number two, or actually number six, the second reason. Find security in knowing that God wants you and accepts you. Not only has a purpose and a plan, but it's not like you're a little hamster running around in some type of hamster cage, and He's like, well, that's kind of interesting. Not just that, I kind of want you to do that. It's God is involved in our life. Not only does He have a purpose and a plan, but He wants us, He accepts us. 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. He died for you. He died for the world, that's true, but He died for you personally because He laid down His life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I know that Jesus died for Dennis Mitchell White Sr. Ephesians 1:16 says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I may not be accepted among friends, I may not be accepted among peers, but I'm accepted in Christ. I can find acceptance there. So instead of finding our acceptance in this world, we need to find our acceptance in our God. Now, to love you doesn't mean He loves our sin, obviously, but He does love us. God will never reject you or refuse you. And God wants you and He seeks to have a relationship with you. You're not chasing God down. It's not like God's running from you, trying to get away from you. God has always been seeking you. Everything that He works in your life, He's trying to pull you closer to Himself. There's a purpose and a plan for your life, and there's a God who wants and accepts you. That's the source of our security. Our security isn't because of people at work. My security isn't my neighborhood. My security isn't even my family. My security is in Christ. Those things are bonus. Those things are great, but that's not where I find my security. My security is in Him. And number seven. We have to find security in what God provides, not what we achieve. And this is probably very much pointed to Americans, because we are achievement-oriented type people. And somehow we think our achievement now becomes defines who we are, and that should not. What I accomplish does not define me. My definition of me is found in Christ. That's how I find myself. So we have to find security in what God provides, not in what you achieve. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, behavior, lifestyle be without covetousness, which is what happens when we're insecure, we become covetous, and be content with such things as you have. Now, typically, we kind of stop right here, this where the colon is, and that's all we talk about. You know, be content with what you have. Be content with your house. Be content with your car. Be content with your job. Be content with your family. All that is true, but that's not really the great point of that verse. The great point of that verse is what he says next. For he has said, I, Jesus, will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What do we have? We have Jesus. He said, that should make you content. My acceptance, my security, my contentment is found in Christ. Goal and achievements, we said this earlier, I'll say it again, goal and achievements are important in life, but they are not the source of our security. There's people, they're killing themselves. Their insecurity causes them to, they just kill themselves in work, and they kill themselves in trying to do everything for everyone, trying to keep everyone happy, to find their security in that, and that kills them, and you're still insecure. I'm not against doing things for people, not against working hard. All those are good things, but not as a source of security. Our security is in Christ. So we should strive to achieve great things, but we realize that we're secure in God regardless of those achievements. God wants us to live righteously. Now watch what I'm about to say, because people go in two ditches here. God wants us to live righteously and holy, but your righteousness and holiness doesn't cause him to love you more. He died for you when you were a sinner headed for hell. He didn't start loving you because you started going to church. He loves you because he loves you. And that isn't ever going to change. Now, do I want to live righteous and holy? Yes, because I want to honor my Savior. But I'm not trying to earn. I'm not saying, okay, Jesus, I went to church today. Do you love me more? Oh, Lord, I read my Bible. Do you love me? No, I say, Lord, you love me. Therefore, I want to read my Bible. Lord, you love me. Therefore, I want to come to church. My actions are the consequence of his love. His love is not the consequence of my actions. Never think that you can earn God's love through accomplishments. Now, watch this next sentence. That cheapens his love and produces insecurity in you. Now, because we are sinners, living among sinners, we are susceptible to feelings of insecurity. It is both normal and natural. I'm not saying try to be that way. I'm just saying it happens. We live in this world. So the answer to our insecurity won't be found in being better than others or tearing down others. Neither one's going to make you secure. It's just going to make you more insecure, and you're just going to do it more and more. Rather, last sentence, it is found in a secure relationship with God. And realizing our acceptance is in him.